There's no one perfect place to live. However, there are some places where you can find that you can very much enjoy. And is Portugal going to be one of those places for you? That will very much depend on you, how you are, and the type of lifestyle that you live. I will say that while I do enjoy Portugal, I am not going to say it's perfect. I will not call anywhere perfect. But there are some things that I enjoy about it. And of course, to keep things balanced, we'll have to talk about the pros and the cons. Roll that intro. Hello there, I'm Rafael DiFuri, and let's just jump straight into this. The first thing that I want to talk about is the slow pace of life. A lot of people are thinking about a move abroad, especially to Southern Europe, because they like the sun, the slow pace of life, people take their time. But of course, that means that people do also take their time in not just the way that they relax, but sometimes in other aspects. However, even though I will say that can happen, I have seen here in Portugal things move a bit faster than in other countries that I've spent time in. And I will say, even when I originally signed up for internet here in Portugal, I asked the guy how long it would take, and I was expecting from previous experiences elsewhere that it could take a couple weeks, maybe a month. But he said, oh, I'm sorry, it could take a while. I was like, oh no, how long is a while? Oh, it's probably about a day or two, a few days maybe. Is that okay for you? I was like, hey, I'll take it, buddy. I'll definitely take it. But it was still, for me, I was really happy with how quickly it was going. So things may not always be the fastest, and things may not always happen at a pace which some people may prefer, but I've yet to have anything happen where it just flat out won't happen. And that kind of brings me also into my limited experience with the medical system. A few of you in person have actually spoken to me about this, like a question relating to the health system, because I mentioned I'd been waiting a number of months for an appointment. And so finally, my appointment came along. So I will say the one thing is that getting an appointment on the public system does seem to take a little while to actually happen. But what I will say is that the care and attention that I received definitely is better than in some other countries that I've lived in. And I was really impressed because, for example, if you look at some countries that are a bit higher on the World Health Organization's top list of healthcare systems, Portugal comes in at number 12. And of course, you have to take into consideration that the list is talking about kind of not necessarily the specific personal care, but like healthcare available and access to healthcare and what medicines and so on. But I will say the quality of care that I've received here, again, my limited experience here, but also each person that I've spoken to seems to have a very similar story about the attention that they've received. So even though getting the appointment did take a while, something that I was personally very positively surprised about was the attention to detail and how thorough they really were able to get during the interaction. Portugal has always been a country that I've kept my eyes on over the years, regardless of where I've been, because there's something special about it. But something I often notice is that there are a lot of people who look at Portugal, come to Portugal, and just based on their first impression, get put off. And I will admit that sometimes there are things here that can seem a little bit rough around the edges. But when you get past a certain point, like, I mean, here in Braga, for example, the streets are generally very clean. But am I going to say that every building is perfectly taken care of on the outside? No. But I think this is also a little bit representative of things that you really do have to look past the surface level, because once you get inside some places, then it's like, whoa, okay, this is really something else. Of course, it's not everywhere. I'm kind of generalizing here. But it's really important to look past the outer facade sometimes and take another step in. And even I will say that goes as far as food. Here in Portugal, there are going to be some dishes that you will see that if you are coming from the US or some other parts of the world that might not look all that appealing to you, but once you actually jump into it, oh buddy, they are delicious. I will say francesinha is definitely at the top of my list of really amazing things here. And I know many people who definitely get off put by the way that it looks. Although personally, I think it looks gorgeous. And just like anywhere else, are there going to be better manicured areas and places that maybe are a little bit more rough around the edges, that maybe it's not just the edges that are a little bit rough? Of course, this is common anywhere in the world. But I will say that it really is worthwhile giving some aspects of things here really a second look, because you really do miss a lot when you are coming from another part of the world and you're expecting one thing and you find another. And I can say that I feel as though I hear about this more in Portugal than some other countries that I've experienced. Because at the end of the day, it's a truly beautiful country with really warm and helpful people and really welcoming people who will guide you through life here and kind of help you along the way. It's really, really something else that I feel like is so uncommon in this world. But another reason why I see people being very interested in moving to Portugal is because of the weather. The beautiful sunny skies and the blue skies and the wonderful temperature all year round. And to that I say, okay, buddy, things are definitely all right here. But of course, it's not perfect. I mean, I remember hearing people bragging about how the Algarve has 300 days of sun, although I'm not sure how those days would necessarily be counted, because maybe you might have a little bit of sun one day. But I'm not going to say that it's rainy all year round, although in the north, it definitely can get quite rainy. And in the south, it can get very, very hot. I mean, even this summer, we've had some very hot weather, thankfully not as hot as some other places around Europe. But it is important to keep in mind that if you are considering a life in Portugal, that it can get hot and humid. I mean, most of the country is within, what, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of the coast? So wherever you are, even at the furthest points inland, you're still not going to be that far from the ocean. I mean, even here in Braga, there are some days that I could swear that we're getting a sea breeze, like just the freshness in the air and the way that it blows in. It feels like you're right on the ocean. Okay, not that we're so far inland, but it is a very interesting experience. But, of course, there is the kind of downside that not everywhere will have air conditioning. And so that's something to keep in mind. Will you have to be buying fans or those units that you have to roll around and stick a tube out the window and have the window open? But then depending on how the window opens, you're probably letting as much hot air in as you're kind of blowing cold air in. So that's definitely a consideration to take into account, because there are plenty of apartments that just don't have these things built in. And I've heard many people complain about them. And so it's not a given, like in some parts of the world where you'll have central heat and AC. You may have to buy units. I mean, personally, I will say that I do have a preference for those coiled oil heaters that you can have just rolling around on wheels. The small ones, those will heat up quite nicely. And because they're not constantly using electricity and they're heating up the oil inside, they seem to be maybe a little bit more efficient. I haven't done any numbers on it, but at least it makes you feel that way. But also another thing that you often see are wall-mounted units. They're not like just vents that you have coming out of the wall or out of the ceiling. It depends. Sometimes it could happen, but it's more common that you'll have like a large wall unit. Maybe let me see if I can actually show you guys. Yeah, so something like that. Kind of feels like the Wizard of Oz letting you guys in behind the curtain here. But those will be the type of units that you will see more often. And are they the most efficient? Yes, no. You'll have to clean out the filters on them pretty often. Some have removable throwaway filters. Some of them have filters that you have to wash. And I'll admit, it gets annoying. And something that maybe it's a more minor thing, it's not really a big deal, but secondhand shopping doesn't really seem to be as big of a deal out here as it does in the States. I mean, in the States, you've got like what? Goodwill, Value Village, the Salvation Army, all these like large stores where you can get furniture, clothing, whatever it may be, electronics. And of course, things aren't necessarily always going to be the newest, but you never know what you'll find. Those don't really seem to be as big of a deal out here. I mean, you can find smaller secondhand clothing stores. Maybe in Braga, for example, there's one used furniture place that I can think of off the top of my head, but it's not anything like what you would see. Or even, I mean, some of you know that I have a thing for old cameras and really enjoy street photography. But I will say the market here, it's not quite as great as you find in other parts of the world. And not to say that everywhere is perfect, or not to say that one country is perfect. Of course, it'll be very localized. But even though things aren't perfect here, maybe I would say in Porto, there's actually a really cool store that has used cameras there. Not necessarily the best selection, but they have quite a large selection that I would say, maybe one of the largest that I've personally seen. But there's definitely a larger store that you can find in Madrid. But anyway, I'm really going off on a tangent here. So if you are the type of person who's just wanting to cheaply furnish a home, you might not necessarily be looking for secondhand furniture stores if you're just wanting something quick and simple and cheap like a college student would be looking for. IKEA might be a little bit more, although they're having more and more furniture that's kind of on the higher end these days, higher end, the more expensive furniture. But you can definitely find furniture at a price that will get you through. And things like Facebook Marketplace do exist here, but selection on there is so-so at best, in my opinion. Another pro about living in Portugal, though, and especially for someone that works mostly remotely and mostly online, is that having internet access here can be really cheap in comparison to some other parts of the world and really fast. Although I will say, having moved here from Italy, that my internet cost is like gone up by multiple times. It's exponentially gone up in price, but still lower cost than what you might spend in the US. And there are a lot of options that you can find, even from the same company. Of course, they have different levels, different types of packages. But the one thing you really have to look out for is there are so many of those different packages that not all of the packages are equal when it comes to speed. Maybe some will give you like even for especially mobile internet, that maybe you'll have X amount of gigabytes or unlimited gigabytes, but you'll find it at a really great price, but because it's at a slower speed on the network. But if you want the full maximum speed of the network, then you have to pay a higher price. So that's something you have to keep in mind when you're looking for mobile data. When it comes to home internet and wired internet and all that stuff, there are some packages that are worthwhile considering. And from the different companies, there's kind of three major companies that you'll be able to find: Vodafone, Nosh, and Mayo. And I'm not going to say like, oh, one's so much better than the other, because also sometimes only one will be available for a certain building, so you have to check your coverage. But sometimes when you're in a city, maybe you'll have an option for all three. And that was the case with me here in my, where I'm located right now, is that I had an option for all three. But again, you really do have to look very closely at what the packages offer. And then sometimes they'll put a little special offer in there, but that little special offer might cost you a little bit extra. And if you decline that special offer, then you get like an extra month free or a discount for the term of your contract. But on the topic of the internet, one thing that can be a little bit annoying here is shopping online. There are some domestic sellers of goods and things that you can find here, but you will often have to look at stores in Spain or other parts of Europe. Shopping from anywhere outside of the European Union can be a bit annoying and a bit expensive. And for example, if you're shopping from Amazon.com, you want to make sure that they have their global shipping and that you prepay for the shipping and duties and taxes and all of that at the time of purchase, because if it ends up going through the Portuguese system, then you have to go into a website and a this and a that. And I've heard stories about things getting held up for long periods of time. So definitely a better idea if you're going to be shopping outside of the European Union that you prepay everything. But of course, not all sellers are set up to do that. And so another thing is that there's also no Amazon Portugal technically. It kind of piggybacks off of Amazon Spain. So if you do want Prime, you'll be getting it from Amazon Spain. But Amazon Spain only is accessible in Portuguese and Spanish. And also their customer service is only available in Spanish. I've called them up a number of times for different things, and I've had the experience where I've had to communicate in Spanish. Like, yeah, okay, I can get by, but definitely less than ideal. However, Amazon Germany does have their site available in English, and they do offer customer service in English as well. So that's another thing just to consider while you're living here, because if you're shopping within the European Union, then you're not going to have to worry about those import fees. But when shopping from Amazon Germany, you will often have to pay higher shipping than you would from Amazon Spain. And getting overnight shipping from an international seller is not that common from my experience. If you buy domestically in Portugal, yeah, maybe there are going to be certain things that you could, but it's not always listed on the website if that's going to be possible. Sometimes it can be. And then sometimes when shopping online, especially in Portugal, you'll have a couple different options that you can pay through a bank transfer or through a debit or credit card or the Multibanco system. And for somebody who maybe is less familiar with how things work with the Multibanco here in Portugal, it can be a little odd to deal with, to figure out how to do it the first couple of times. But once you figure out the entity number and the reference number and figuring out that it's actually maybe not as daunting as it looks, then it's pretty fine. But there's those first couple of interactions, I was like, did it go through? What is this? What's this number? What am I doing here? Because even having moved here from Italy, having done IBAN transfers and automatic withdrawals from a bank, I can say sometimes it wasn't the fastest to do it with that, but doing the transfer through the Multibanco system was pretty quick, and the payments were processed basically immediately. So it can work just almost as conveniently as a credit or debit card. One huge positive for individuals who are thinking about living in Portugal and wanting to travel is that getting to and from Portugal, depending on what part of the world you're trying to get to and from, is generally pretty easy, especially if you're trying to travel within Europe or if you're traveling to the US. You're going to have quite a few options of where you can travel to and from. If you're going to be in the north of Portugal and have to fly through Porto, then okay, maybe you're not going to have the best connections like you might have through Lisbon. But I would say, generally speaking, getting to Portugal is a bit easier. But if you have to fly through Lisbon, at least how it is currently, it might not be the most ideal. From what I've seen in the news, there constantly seems to be stories about people having delays or luggage issues and this and that and the other. But if you are flying just within the European Union and you're flying with carry-on only, I would say it's pretty easy, especially if you do online check-in or you just do digital check-in on your phone and just have your ticket on your phone rather than having to go to a kiosk and print it out and check in things. And I would say actually my limited experience with that was really good, and I would definitely consider doing it again. And just before we end off this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, I do want to bring things back to food for just a moment, because of course food on Not Your Average Globetrotter is a top tier priority when it comes to subjects here. So one thing that I will say is that if you are in Lisbon, you might have more options for international foods and international ingredients and things that you might even consider exotic. But I will say in a smaller city like Braga, your options are going to be much more limited. Some of you know that I've mentioned in previous episodes that I'm a huge fan of Middle Eastern food. I could very easily live on just Middle Eastern food alone in my life, and I'd be very happy. But so far, I can say in Braga, I haven't found a Middle Eastern restaurant, nowhere that I would at least like to frequent regularly. There's someone here that does kind of orders that she cooks from her kitchen and get them delivered to you, but that's a whole different thing. You can find some options like in Porto and Lisbon. Like, for example, in Porto, there's a place I recently tried called Cult of Pita. Love that name, by the way. And then in Lisbon, you have a place called the Lebanese Corner. Both of those are definitely what I would love to eat on a regular basis. However, I wouldn't exactly call them convenient from a perspective of living here in Braga. And also when it comes to spices or some of those exotic ingredients, sometimes they can be a little bit hard to find. I mean, even for example, things like, say, sumac or za'atar or seven spice. I mean, okay, you could mix your own seven spice, but it's nice to be able to just kind of buy it on its own. Or even cardamom or saffron. Okay, you can get saffron from Spain, but even then, I'm not going to say so regularly available. You can sometimes find these things at like a halal store if that halal store caters towards Middle Eastern kind of foods rather than from another part of the world. Because, of course, not all halal stores seem to be catered towards just one community. So that's one thing to think about there if you are someone who's like me and looks for those kinds of foods. And I can say my experience of even Asian food here has been hit and miss, but maybe mostly miss so far. So, and I do have some friends here from Asia who have complained about the lack of ability to find certain ingredients or certain foods or certain things that they kind of miss from back home. They can find something that maybe comes close, but maybe not quite the same. But that's one thing that you do have to consider, that if you're moving to, like, say, the middle of Oklahoma, I'm not saying Braga is like Oklahoma, but if you're moving to certain places in the world, of course, you're going to have less access to certain things. But then even things like maybe cheddar cheese or kind of some of those American sauces that you can find quite readily, like even Caesar or ranch or whatever, those are going to be hard, if not impossible, to find out here. I mean, yeah, you can find some things now, like cheddar cheese or yellow cheeses. It seemed to be much more available here than in some other places that I've been in, but it might not be quite the same like what you're used to back home. So keep that in mind, that ingredients can change depending on where you're from, and then also not even just the ingredients, but the layouts in the supermarket. But I think this is where I'm going to round out this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. So of course, thank you so much for joining me on this Friday night, as well as a huge thank you to those of you who helped to make Not Your Average Globetrotter possible on a monthly basis through Patreon, as well as the one-time support through the thanks button here on YouTube, as well as rafaeldifuria.com/support. Of course, as always, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I will see you all next time for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.